Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
It is a final from Cincinnati, and the results again are good. Brewers take game one of this three-game set, 5-1 the final. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Tim Allen alongside Evan Heffelfinger. Yes, that's his name. And the Brewers are, well, don't look now, guys. They are scorching hot. We can pick apart a couple of things here and there. And as some guys are coming through, other guys, not so much. But the bottom line is winning baseball games. Their fifth consecutive victory. They've won 10 of their last 11. They've won 13 of their last 16. And they hit their high water mark at 8 games over .500 with this victory tonight. And then, hey, Cincinnati's been on a little bit of a roll too, so we can't discount the fact that they're playing, you know, a little sister down the street. It's the Cincinnati Reds and a pretty damn decent offense. And Adrian Houser steps up again. Guys, his last three outings. You know, he went through a couple of bumps in the road there. Maybe a month ago or so. But his last three outings, he's combined 15 and a third innings pitched with just two runs given up. That's it. And his ERA now at 3.66. You think about the Brewers organization as a whole. And we used to look back at guys like Giovanni Gallardo and some of these guys saying, wow, you know, the Brewers frontline guys, you know, 3.5 ERA. That's pretty good. No. This is their fourth in the rotation. That's why it's pretty important to go back to how you assess the beginning of this season. And I had a conversation with Adam McAlvey, right around spring training or so. Now, we both agreed that Adrian Houser is key. Adrian Houser and a guy like Travis Shaw. Offensively, I put the emphasis on both those guys. Well, they played a part here tonight. Certainly Travis Shaw had, and you feel good about that because he's really been struggling. And you feel good about his two-run double in that ninth inning. But Adrian Houser now starting to jump in on the fun bunch, if you will, with that starting rotation of Woody, Burns, Peralta, and then Houser. That's a pretty good four-pack of pitchers, guys. It is, and it's starting to show here as the offense now, you know, you think they're struggling early in this game, and you look at the end of the game, they've got another five runs on the board, starting to average around that five runs a game mark for now a nice stretch of games. We thought about this, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. Is the offense turning the corner? Well, kind of appears they are. It does. They're putting up some runs. Avi Garcia. Omar's been steady. He's doing this without Wong and Kane here. And some would say, really, without a 100% Christian Yelich in terms of productivity. But man, they win again. Fifth consecutive win, and just kind of just a sailing along. It really is down to that one window here thus far. Here we are, June 8th. That one window of time last month where it was May 2nd through the 21st, where they lost 13 of 17. And with this rotation, guys, that's kind of hard to do. I mean, it's going to be hard to repeat that. So I doubt they're going to get on a run like that on a negative side. But a huge win tonight. And seeing as how we're right around that 60-game mark, Evan and I thought it'd be fun to do a compare and contrast a little bit. Last year's 60-game schedule to this year's 60-gamer. And we'll have that for you coming up in just a little while. Craig Counsell, we'll hear from him. I'm sure we'll hear from Adrian Hauser. I'm going to say we're going to hear from Travis Shaw as well. That's a big hit. He's doing everything he can to get back going, guys. He is. It was a nice defensive play to take away a hit from Travis. He's bunting against the shift, trying to get a base hit for Travis Shaw. He finally comes through. That had to feel pretty good for Shaw as they walked Omar Narvaez intentionally to face Travis Shaw. And he comes through, and he really gives the Brewers a little breathing room. That's pretty key here. And you know, call me a nerd, but, you know, I think about these things that, you know, Travis Shaw saved an additional outing for Josh Hader is what he did. I mean, he may have saved a situation in tomorrow's game or Thursday's series finale that, you know, had you had to get Hader up, and that would have been fine. That's what he's there for. But a hit like Travis got in the ninth inning sat him down again, so maybe he can go if the Brewers are in a position both tomorrow and Wednesday to take a couple of games. I mean, that's the way I think, just one step at a time and just one situation at a time here. For the Brewers' offense, number one, but for the Brewers' win-loss record, it is huge, guys. This is kind of nice. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas here. Evan, 13 of 16 games, 10 of their last 11, and 5 consecutive. That feels pretty good, doesn't it, when you compare it to, you know, almost exactly 1 month ago?
Well, considering how down in the dumps we were literally a month ago from right now, they had just lost a game, I'm sure. The offense looked atrocious. They were dealing with a million different injuries. To now, they have most of their team, and while they may not be 100% healthy and 100% playing up to their ability, they're winning. And I think that can't be overstated. This team that has won 13 of 17 is still not playing up to their potential right now. That is incredible see. The pitching can't be much better than what we've seen, but this offense can get a whole lot better, and that has me so excited and ready for the heartbreak in September.
No, don't say that. No, they're a force with this pitching staff. They really are, and it really is a game-by-game situation for me to see the offensive output in the runs column. That's what I am so focused on here. You know, each time they get a situation where it's first and second, nobody out, second, third, one out. I don't want to say that the whole season or their offensive season is hanging in the balance, but in terms of living in the moment, that's huge, guys, if they can just get a rhythm going offensively, and it looks like they are in terms of doing enough, you know, to get a winning streak going at 5 here, like I said, 10 of 11, 13 of 16. So just inning by inning, situation by situation, it's vital right now. And as we discussed over the weekend, this 33 games and 34-day stretch is going to tell you a huge story about the 2021 championship season. It's not all riding on these 33 games. It's not. But it is a big few chapters of the season. That's why I'm sort of hanging on this, you know, almost pennant race every pitch kind of deal. Not just for work. Guys, you got to remember, I'm a hang on every pitch Brewer fan even before I did this show. Many, many, many years of hanging on every pitch. And, you know, if I've got something to do outside or tinkering in the garage years ago or whatever, I would always have the radio on and following every pitch. So, but even more so now because of this offense. And will there be some offensive changes? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. But they continue to just level off a little bit here. And that's the key. So around that 60-game mark, well, right at that 60-game mark at 34-26, Evan. So we're going to do a little compare and contrast last year to this year. 60-60 tonight here on the postgame show. So we'll have that for you coming up in a little while. I went through last year's 60-game schedule. It's a playoff season, don't get me wrong. Man, they were really challenged last year. I mean, you thought offensively this year was a challenge. Last year was maybe just as tough. So we'll get to that in a bit. Craig Counsell on the way. Let's get into our game recap here. If you want to react, by the way, you're always welcome. 414-799-1250 as Crew gets a 5-1 victory. First inning in this one, a couple of base runners for the Brewers. Strikeout to Urias. Vogelback with a base hit. Full count strikeout to Christian Yelich. This is a check swing, by the way. All three of those hitters, I noticed this in the first inning, took first pitch strike ones. All three of them. Urias and Vogelback, despite the base hit, and Christian Yelich. All down 0-1 to Sonny Gray. Avi then swings and misses on the first pitch, so all four batters were down 0-1 to Sonny Gray. Avi eventually was hit by the pitch to put two on, two out for Omar. Popped it up. Over 20 for Gray in that first inning, though. That may come back to help him in this one. Hauser, a one-out base hit to Winker in the bottom of the first, goes full to the three-hitter, gets a strikeout. Almost identical. He did have a wild pitch in there, moving the runner over. Votto then a shallow fly ball to center field into the second inning. Brewers in order in the second inning. Strikeout to Shaw, fly out. A little bit of a liner for Adames. Strikeout to Bradley. Sonny Gray, four punch-outs through his first two innings of work. Reds on the board. Second inning, a one-out base hit, followed up by a double. Second and third with the one out. Hauser up on Akiyama, 0-2. Works it full, and then a base hit RBI. Runners at the corners. And one zip, Brewers trailing. Sonny Gray, a bunt attempt. Narvaez throws behind Farmer, the runner at third. That was a huge play right there. It really was. Second out, they picked him off. Gray grounds out to end the frame. One run on three hits as the Brewers trailed into that third inning. One out base hit for the Crew after Hauser's fly out. Urias had that base hit. Vogelback with a scorcher. Winker tracked it down. Yelich strikes out to end the inning. Five Ks through the three innings, two from Yelich, one zip. Hauser, a chance for a quick inning in that bottom of the third, couple of quick outs, then a double, then a walk to Votto, two on, two out for Suarez, falls behind 2-0, and gets him to fly out on a curveball. Hauser, I noticed tonight, guys, used a lot of that curveball tonight. So that's something to keep in mind. Maybe that's part of the success run that he's on. Sonny Gray, while warming up in that fourth inning, had to leave the game due to injury, gives way to Doolittle. He is introduced to Avi Garcia.
Two stranded in that opening frame. As there is a drive hit into deep left field, and that's out of here for Avisail Garcia, and this game is tied. That smoked.
Tied it up right there, 1-1. Omar followed that up, by the way, with a base hit. Travis Shaw doing everything he can to get going. Laid down a bunt right there. Now, he was thrown out. He almost beat it out. But I don't know about you guys, and the official scoring in baseball is kind of funky at times. I mean, I don't know how you call that a sacrifice right there. It's the fourth inning. I mean, it literally is the fourth inning. Now, the score is tied, but it's not the eighth or seventh inning here. I'm talking about the fourth. So, okay. Adames then flies out. JBJ works a walk. Now, this is key here. I told you I'm a little nerdy about this stuff. You know, it's the fourth inning. JBJ works a two-out walk. And why am I excited about that? First of all, Jackie Bradley Jr. doesn't strike out or make an out. But I'm excited because they clear the pitcher in that inning. I don't know about you, Evan, but do you watch for those things? I mean, this flies under the radar to a lot of fans. But I'm like, there you go, JBJ, clear the pitcher.
I always look for that. It's a pitching strategy. It's why you don't see teams walk the eight guy as much as they may used to, because they want to get to that pitcher spot or save it for the next inning. So it's nice to see JBJ, the one time that he got a hit in, what, the last 2.5 months maybe, that it's to clear the pitcher spot right there.
Well, he walked there. He got a base hit later in the game, but he walks there, so he showed the patience, and the Brewers tie it up in that fourth inning going into the bottom half. Hauser efficient in a shutdown inning on just 10 pitches in that fourth inning. That was a key frame for Adrian Hauser. Brewers looking to take the lead in the fifth. Leadoff walk by Urias. And again, this is key because you cleared the pitcher. You had Urias leadoff with the walk. And Vogelbach then, during the sequence, there's a wild pitch. Moves Urias to second base. Vogelbach works a walk himself on the ball for another wild pitch. First and third for Yelly. Nobody out. Well, get the ball in play, and you do get a run.
Reyes at third. Vogelbach, the runner at first. Here comes 2-1. On the ground, double play chance. India, Farmer, Votto for the double play, but Reyes will score, and the Brewers will take a 2-1 lead here in the fifth. No RBI, but a run nonetheless as the Brewers grab the lead.
They do grab the lead right there. Highlights on Bally Sports Wisconsin. They get a run without the aid of a hit right there. A couple of walks, a couple of wild pitches. 2-1 lead into the bottom of the fifth inning. Hauser, another shutdown inning. There you go. After a leadoff infield single, then a bunt. Again, I mean, those of you looking at small ball being fossilized, it's just not true. Winker after the sacrifice bunt, a big at-bat ground ball to the right side for the second out, and Castellanos comes up, and Adrian strikes him out to put up another goose egg. 2-1 into the sixth inning. Brewers 1-2-3 in that sixth inning. A couple of more strikeouts, including Shaw, really slumping 5 for his last 54 at that point. 2-1 into the sixth. Hauser, a one-out walk in the bottom of the sixth, and Council has seen enough right there. 5 1/3, 87 pitches, and he gives way to Brent Suter. This is key because Suter gets the first man, a strikeout for the second out of the frame, and then Travis Shaw flashing some leather. A great play for the final out of that sixth inning to leave the ledger at 5 1/3 and just a one run allowed for Adrian Hauser. His last 15 1/3, just 2 earned runs given up for the Brewers' right-hander. 2-1, seventh inning, leadoff base hit by JBJ in the seventh. He moves over on an errant pickoff throw. There he is, scoring position. Jace Peterson, you going to bunt? Nope, little comeback to the pitcher, and yeah, on a high bounce, granted. But JBJ caught off second base. He's out for the first out. Well, they get back in that same situation because Peterson steals second base. One out, man at second. Reyes draws a walk. Vogelbach then with a ground ball to the right side moves those runners over with 2 outs. They intentionally walk Christian Yelich to load him up with 2 outs for Avi Garcia.
And there's a changeup, bouncer over the mound. India knocks it down, but there's no play as Peterson will score. Infield single for Avi Garcia as the Brewers now have a 2-run lead.
Yeah, 3-1 at that point. And when you look at Avi Garcia's season thus far, if you just prorate some of the numbers here, guys, you're looking at like 35 home runs and near 100 RBIs. Does it seem like that? I don't know. He's been doing some damage here lately. He's huge for this offense, especially if he keeps that up. 3-1 as Omar flies out to end that frame. Bottom seventh inning. Who's going to pitch for the Crew? Brent Suter was pinch hit for. Box in for the bottom of the seventh inning. Strikeout. Walk. And then he has to face Winker. Gets him to ground out. They did a nice job against Winker tonight, guys. Adames and Jace Peterson work walks in that eighth inning, wrapped around a couple of outs, but a ground ball by Urias ends the inning 3-1. Is it going to be Devin Williams coming on? Yeah, here comes Devin Williams. He did pitch a scoreless inning with three strikeouts. However, about 25 pitches, he walked a couple of men in there. Got a little testy there in that eighth inning. 3-1 into the ninth inning. Give or get some insurance here. Leadoff walk, Yelly, then a ground ball moves Taylor over, who drew the walk. Avi strikes out for the second out to bring up Omar. They intentionally walk him. Travis Shaw, don't let him do it to you. Don't let him do it to you. Two on, two out, 3-1. They're trying to keep it right there. Hader's up and ready to go. You can sit Hader down after this swing.
The 1-0. And that is wrapped into right center field, a base hit, and that is going to get to the wall. Taylor's in. Narvaez rounding third. He's digging for home. Here's the throw. Not in time. And a big two-run ninth inning double from Travis Shaw, and it's a 5-1 ball game.
And there's a 5-1 lead, and that's your final. Hobie Milner pitches a scoreless ninth inning as he gave up a base hit. 5-1, five consecutive games. That's where the winning streak is at right now. They've won 10 of their last 11, 13 of their last 16 games. 13-3 now, Evan, since they pull off the Adames trade.
And what a difference he has made. I mean, just looking at the camaraderie in the dugout, they brought back the beast mode from 2011, that celebration. Every dead ball, his arm is around Luis Urias or whoever is playing at third. He looks like he has been the difference maker for this team.
Yeah, so eight games over 500, that's the key. Full recovery now. This is an absolute 100% full recovery from May 2nd to the 21st, losing 13 of 17. Not only recovered, but did one better and got over that mark of 17-10, 7 over. Got to 8 over now, 60 games. You want to join us? 414-799-1250. As the Brewers, a little bit of a more consistent baseball team these days. And we will get to our 60 comparison. That's 60-60 comparison. We're 60 games in here of the 21 championship season. Last year's season, pandemic shortened, 60-gamer. We'll go back a little back and forth affair between Evan and I and take a look at these two seasons as we compare and move on. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up in just a bit. You guys can squeeze in if you want to. Brewers in good shape here, playing better baseball. That is for sure. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on The Fan. Call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250. Or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
Brewers get it done again tonight. 5-1 the final. That's called a five-game winning streak. And the Brewers have won 10 of their last 11. Welcome back in Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show. Driven by our friends at the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Adrian Hauser, 5 1/3, one run. Avi Garcia, another home run. Think about the prorated numbers for Avi Garcia. He's about a 35 home run guy and almost 100 RBIs. Now, again, I mean, we're 60 game mark, granted. But we're starting to get a better peek at things here. I told you the 7 to 10 to 12 couple of weeks of June. That's where we're at here to get a pretty good assessment of what's going to happen. Now, you know, Christian Yelich still trying to find it a little bit. I'll give you that. And one would say, well, how much time do you give him? Well, take a look at 2018 in which he had 25 home runs in the second half of the season. So you do have that in the bank for Christian. So he is allotted a little more time here. And the offense as a whole starting to turn the corner here. Let's get some reaction here. We'll get to Craig Counsell, and we'll get to our 60-60 comparison, 60-game schedule last year. And we're right at 60 games this year and a 34-26 mark. Boy, what we'd give for that mark last year. All right, stick around. 414-799-1250. Marshall, you're on the Fan. What's happening?
Well, good evening, Tim. Glad to lead it off. And just before I get into the baseball, much better night than last night, if you know what
Ooh,
I mean.
Boy.
And most of my tennis players that I love got beat, but thank God for Coco Gauff and Gold Gauff tomorrow over in Paris. But the Bucks need our prayers right now. But anyway, as for tonight, it was a tremendous win. I caught much of the game. The pitching was just awesome. I get the feeling if Sonny Gray had pitched a normal game, we still would have pulled this thing out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
May have needed Hader perhaps to do it, but we would have. And yeah, I couldn't be happier and more overjoyed, just as what I said about the other sports, Tim. Couldn't be more overjoyed about the Brewers, and I'm glad that you kept the faith. Because I'll admit, when the weather was colder, I was questioning a lot of things about the hitting, but mm-hmm. you kept saying, it'll come around once the weather warms up, and that's been some of it, and I just think the Adames trade has done wonders for us. Kudos to David Stearns and the brass there for that. And I'm not saying things are over. It's 60 games, and I was thinking the same thing tonight. You were where we were during the pandemic, and it wasn't as good last year, but I'm excited, and it's great to see that red and white uniform struggling here a little bit too right now for a change.
Yeah,
and,
maybe that those guys off
as well. And yeah. You know, but I think if this pitching continues and the hitting, I think it continues to improve. I think Yelich will come around some. He's just too talented a player not to.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep calling it a championship season. I don't think you have any. We don't have to take a back seat to anybody right now, folks. If
no.
we stay healthy, it's our turn a little bit here. It's kind of what Steve Spurrier said when he took the South Carolina job, though he never won at all. He had some great years there. He said, why not us? Why not the South Carolina Gamecocks in college football? So you never know what can happen here right now, and I feel good. And you know, and you guys keep the faith. Keep the faith, because you guys have hit this thing right on target pretty much.
Marshall, great stuff. Thank you, sir. Yes, you got it. 799-1250. You mentioned Christian Yelich is too talented. Okay, the names on the backs of these jerseys is the biggest reason why I said wait until June. Wait until June before you really go crazy. Now, do we show a little frustration when a guy is one for his last 23 for crying out loud, Jackie Bradley, get it together. Whatever it was, you know, during that stretch, during a slow offensive start. You know, do we get a little frustrated at some of these situations, you know, second and third and nobody out and you can't score and you do it back-to-back games or bases loaded, nobody out, and they wiggle out of it. Of course, we're going to get a little frustrated. But in terms of the bigger picture, we had to wait until now. This to me is where I was targeting right now. I mean, it's almost right on the button. 7 to 10 to 12 to 2 weeks into June. And so do you feel a little bit better about the offense? I think I do, yeah. But when he mentioned Christian is too talented, I will just say this. Reason I stuck with this. Guys with names like Colton Wong, Omar Narvaez, Avi Garcia, Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain, Jackie Bradley Jr. These guys were worth waiting for just based on those names alone. Now, will they be the Bronx Bombers? Will they be a Murderer's Row? Maybe not, but were they a hell of a lot better than the offensive output that they showed through a month and a half? Yes, they're going to be better. And they are starting to be a little bit better. 799-1250. Nate, let's get you in here. You're on the Fan. What's going on?
How are you doing?
Good.
Evening. Usually I go with the one positive and one negative. We're going to scrap that for tonight. Too much negative energy out in the air for Wisconsin sports. We're just going to go with all positive.
I love
the fact that we're still in bases. Still in bases was a good sign for me tonight. Garcia is hitting the ball well. Urias is getting back to drawing his walks and taking what is given to him and stuff like that. And just the way Craig Council is managing the game overall as of late, I haven't had many problems with his substitutions or his starting lineups or anything like that. It's just been a good vibe from this Brewers game and Brewers lineup and Brewers hitters. And they're starting to have a little bit more fun out there when you can see it on the field with the hits and with them running around the bases and stuff like that. One thing I would like to say is I would definitely love to see Ryan Braun with this group. He can give you a little bit of stability over there at the first base, especially when going against lefties. It's just a good sign. I'm glad that I started listening to you around this year because I don't know, I probably would have lost my head in May if it wasn't for you and the radio show. So I appreciate that. And keep positive vibes out there, Wisconsin. It's going to get better.
There you go, Nate. I appreciate you, man. This is. I've got a couple of shows coming up filling in for some guys that are going to be taking some time off here, and I'll get more into this whole, as Nate just said there, this negative vibe that just always it always comes into play when the team does well. You know, we never say, see, it's all doom and gloom. These guys are awful. We always say, yeah, they're doing great, but they'll find a way to lose it at the end. So I want to have a couple of conversations about that. Yeah, the Bucks down 0-2. I get it. But man, they're coming back to Milwaukee. Let's just hold the horses here just a little bit. Hold on just a second here. Because What it cost you, I think, was some of that philosophy. And you do what think and do whatever you want to do, but I think it costs you a lot of fun on the ride. And like right now, the Brewers winning 10 of 11 games. I don't know if a lot of if the mass majority of sports fans in Wisconsin could rattle that off. Oh, how are the Brewers doing? I heard they weren't doing so good. No, they're actually doing really good. They're 8 games over 500. They've won 10 of 11, 13 of 16, 5 in a row. I mean, you can't hardly do any better than that. So, in the meantime, once some fans discover that they're doing well, then it's immediately, I'm saying some, immediately to, it ain't going to last. Have you noticed that, Evan?
I guess I'm the wrong person to ask about this because I luckily, in my 24 years, haven't seen a Wisconsin team really, really bad for a long stretch of time. The Brewers were bad in the early 2000s, but I was just getting into baseball at that time, so I don't really...
Yeah, you were probably 6 or 7 years old, right?
Yeah, that was the first team that I paid attention to because Brooks Kieschnick and Scott Podsednik were my guys.
Okay.
But, yeah, I've been lucky that the teams have been good just about every single year of my life. So it's weird in thinking about it like that, that, yeah, things are really great right now, but there are some things to nitpick and be negative on. Almost because there's been so much heartbreak. I remember we talked about that on Rami and Tim. Remember we had that conversation on if it's cursed to be a Wisconsin sports fan.
Right.
And I wonder if it's just a defense mechanism because guys like me have gotten our heart broken so many times in our lifetime that we almost want to find something to be negative about so that we can be, I guess, a little bit prepared when it all comes crashing down, if it does.
Here's where I'm going to meet you. When you scoop it all in, the Bucks and the Brewers and the Packers and the Badgers or Marquette or, you know, whatever. They need a damn championship.
They really
do. They just do. We do. But along the way toward one, because we've had some close calls, right? Bucks.
Far too many.
Okay. Brewers and, you know, NLCS in 2018 and then two consecutive years of the playoffs. Packers, you know, all right there on the NFC title game. You know, what, four of the last seven games. There's been some near... Reassess that after that. You know, don't... I find it hard to believe during good times we can't have some fun. There's just always that undertone. There's always that little, as you said, to some fans... In the back of your mind, that is, it's not going to work out. I already know it's not going to. Why isn't it going to work out, sir? Well, it's Wisconsin sports. It never works out. No, that's just, but that costs you some fun. Leave that alone. But lock that in a back compartment of your brain. Just lock it up for a while. Bring that back out if the Bucks are down 3-0. Bring that back out when and if. The Brewers get to the doorstep of a World Series or into the World Series and may trail or whatever.
Yeah,
bring
that's
it
the
back.
Thing.
Open,
I just I
open
want a
that
championship
door
appearance at this point. I would be thrilled with that.
It's just, and you know, years of doing this show, I've always said this, that the losing part of this, you go on a losing streak, it's sort of part of the fun. In just a weird way, it is. It's the ride. It is the ride. All of these, all championship runs go through some of this stuff.
And then, I mean,
so
think
what
about
makes this different?
It's the saying, it's the, oh, that's going to be the turning point on the championship DVD. It's like a movie.
That's right.
It really is like a movie where every movie has to have a conflict or a plot point that is a negative plot point to get to your ultimate conclusion.
Losing makes winning sweeter. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. Tipping point? Adamas trade? Just saying. I mean, almost the light turned on right there, guys. 13-3 since that trade. 13-3. I'm not saying it's necessarily because of the trade, but... Boy, the timing looks pretty interesting. We're going to get to Craig Counsell after the break here, and then we'll get to our 60-60. You remember last year how screwy it was in sports, how screwy it was in life? We've got 60 games here in 2021 with a 34-26 mark. We had a 60-game regular season schedule last year. We're going to take a look at both. On the way in just a bit. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Brewers take game one of this three-game set at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Adrian Hauser and company get it done. 5-1 the final. We'll be back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
Brewers get a win tonight in Cincinnati, game one of this three-game set. And as we 5-1 the final, by the way, as we discussed in late April, as we discussed, well, at some points in May, and certainly we're discussing it now in June, the offense is critical here. It is, because, you know, we talk about, you know, fast-forwarding if the playoffs were to start now. And I'm going to stick with what we talked about on this show with this pitching. Even during the losing 13 of 17 in May, the pitching was still there. You remember all those pitching lines we went through and close losses where the offense should have taken? I've got 10 of them here. Where the offense, just a standard middle-of-the-road offense, you'd have won, just give them 3 or 4. I'm not even saying they would have won all 10 of them, but just 3 or 4, they should have won with just a middle-of-the-road offense. So all that being said, I'm going to stick with what we talked about throughout here, 60 games. Guys, this is not a team you want to play in the playoffs. It's not, because they're built to win a big game in the playoffs with this pitching. And again, this is going to, I hate to heap it all on the offense, but the starting pitching and the bullpen have been extraordinary, all told. Have there been bumps in the road? Of course. There's no doubt. Not a ton. It's been good. So I'm going to stick with that. If they can just hold serve, do their thing, play a little consistent baseball, it is a tough team to play in. I don't care. Pick 29 other teams. This is a tough out. This Brewers pitching staff, bullpen, and the difference maker is probably going to be a little bit of that offense. But it's a tough out. It's a tough series. Before we get to council, let's get some more reaction in here. 414-799-1250 to Greg. Greg, you're on The Fan. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? I'm pretty much a Craig Council apologist, and I usually understand what he does, and even if I disagree, I get it. Question for you on what you thought. I believe it was a third inning. There was guys in second and third with one out, and there was an eighth batter, then the next batter was going to be the pitcher. And I was thinking, I was like, maybe you should just walk this guy and get to the pitcher with bases loaded. And most times the pitcher is going to strike out or maybe even ground it to a double play, stuff like that. But, you know, he elected to pitch to him, and then obviously the guy got a hit and scored the run. Yep. What were your thoughts about that? Did you agree with that, Dodd? Or do you, you know, I guess I just wonder what your thoughts were.
Okay. Well, let's hold on. Is he still there? Are you still there, Greg?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. All right. I believe it was second and third with the one out and the eight hitter up.
Yep.
Yes. And that was Akiyama.
Yep.
Hauser was up on him 0-2. Akiyama then works it. So Hauser wasn't given in right there. He threw a couple of curveballs that missed. He had one bad pitch that got away. The fastball was just not up enough. It you know, he's a sinker ball pitcher, is Hauser. So when he throws a high fastball, he's got to make sure it's high. And Akiyama went up and got that and base hit him to first and third right there.
He went out of the strike zone too. Like, it was above the strike zone.
Yep.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I was like, maybe an unintentional walk, like, you know, throw everything in the dirt. Maybe he'll chase something like that. If he does, then it gets beaten to the ground and like that. But I mean, most parts, I usually agree with.
No, I thought about it. I thought about putting him on and let Sonny Gray swing a bat.
I guess I was just thinking about that. I'm like, and you know, but I talked to some of my friends and you know, they kind of agreed. They're like, hey, it's too early in the game to be walking and you know, like that. I'm like, oh, okay. I was just. You know, you're more of a baseball guy than me, and I was just like, oh, maybe I'm missing something. I was like,
and that's a feel. I could go either way on that, Greg. I mean, that's you know, that's a feel thing for Council. I mean, you probably will see another manager maybe walk that guy, or at least not give in totally. He really didn't give in. I mean, as Evan said, that ball was out of the strike zone. He just went up and got it.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, right. I was listening to the game, and I was driving around, and so maybe that might be it. I didn't get to see what happened, but you know, I think it was Euchre at the time said that it was a letter high fastball. The one that the eight hitter, I can't pronounce his name, but
Akiyama Shogo, yeah,
yeah, and said that he hit it well, and you know, I was just wondering. I was like, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm like, oh, maybe you should just. Threw everything into the dirt, and you know, if he beats into the ground and it beats the, you know, the infielders coming in, fine, whatever, it happens. But I don't know. I
Greg, you're a man after my own heart, man. That breaks down a third inning situation on game 60 of a Brewer season. I just love that. I'm with you, man. All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's pick a mic, a couple of them. Go for it, Mike. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Tim, hey, Evan. Hi.
Now, Mike, I do want to tell you this, that I heard you down the dial a little bit, and I don't think they treated you very well. So you need to stay with us.
The ball guy?
I don't know who it was.
620?
I don't know. They just didn't treat you very well.
They hung up on me, right?
Yep.
I thought it was a good take. Did you?
I can't remember what it was.
Well, when you're coming back from the bar, you're not going to be 100% on your team.
True. I'm with you there, yes.
You know, I just don't call off my head. I write everything down.
That's all right.
And that's all right. They'll take my call again. But, you know, this Bucks Lust song?
Mm-hmm.
How about Brewers Lust? You think that guy, Limburger's head's, he's got the wheels turning, he's going to put out another song on the Brewers.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I asked you the other day, maybe who's going to be our fourth? I think this Adrian Hauser could be our fourth. And we have no Wong, we have no Kane, no problem. But I don't see Braun. I really don't see that happening.
Okay, I do. And all right, Mike, thanks for the call. See, I didn't hang up on you. I do see the Braun thing.
So, Timmy, we're on Braun Watch, you and I.
Oh, for sure.
Guess what? Our good buddy Scott Grodzki posted a video from his wife's Instagram, Ryan Braun's Instagram, of him in a batting cage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That sounds like the first step to... getting back. Why would a retired guy be hitting in a cage like that?
It makes all the sense in the world. It makes every bit of sense in the world. This is not a stepping out on a limb prediction that Brawny's coming back. It's really not. It's to me, it's a no-brainer. And to Braun, it's a no-brainer. Brawny, I've always wondered why guys still have production left in them. And I'm not them. I you know, again, we're not them. They've made a bunch of millions of dollars. They've got everything they've wanted. But when you step away, I find it hard to believe that there isn't a possible regret many years down the line. I'm talking many years, whether it's 7 years or 17 years or 27 years down the line, watching a baseball game and sitting there reflecting on your career, and you had a chance to go out this way, Brawny, don't have that regret. Don't do that. Number one. Number two, he wants to go out the way he wants to go out. We all know about Ryan Braun. Part of what makes these stars tick is their ego. They want to go. There's no question they want to. He wants to go out that way. In my mind, that's just common sense to me. Number three, maybe the most important thing, he's tailor-made for what this team needs right now. He provides a platoon situation righty-lefty with Vogel back at first base. He provides veteran leadership. He provides a stretch run beyond belief that he's done the last few years with this baseball team.
Think about how good he's been in September the last three
yes.
years.
That's what I'm
so
saying.
Good.
Every bit of this makes sense with Braun. Every single bit, right down to, well, this part I don't know, whether the wife is going to allow it. That is the only curveball that I see in that whole thing. You want to get in one more before we get to council?
Yeah, let's go to Mike in Greenfield.
Hello, Mike in Greenfield. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad. And the more important, how are you, Tim?
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
Don't apologize for being a crazy Brewer fan. You keep some of us from jumping out the window, and that's good. I strive to be as smart as some of your baseball callers, but like I said, I'm mature. Anyhow, we talked about what are they going to do to get this offense going. My question to you is, was the trade, we need at least one more reliever, but was the trade for Adonis a good trade? Looks like it was, but man, if this everybody's coming out of their hitting slump. We just got Kasten and who else is batting not too good? Well, anyhow, they're all coming around. And
is the trade a good one? All right, Mike, it's a great question, and I'm going to stick to it with my thoughts.
You are. Grounded me from calling in 3 days when you caught me on another station. That's
Oh, okay. So you're calling the other Mike out. All right, Mike, I may have to.
He's a smarter caller than I am. I'm going to get off.
Hall monitor and garage Mike right there.
Yep.
The other Mike, I might have to. Thanks for the call, Mike. The other Mike, I might have to ground him for 3 days. 3 days suspension from the phone lines. All right, on the trade. It's a Brewers win for now. It is. Let's just keep, and again, this may take a year or two. Let's keep an eye on Drew Rasmussen. That's all I'm saying. Just keep an eye on him, and, you know, you're gonna maybe say, oh, man, that's right, he was a Brewer. Or you're going to be watching a game on TBS in the postseason, or, you know, maybe ESPN Sunday night game, or Rasmussen's going to be, wow, where did this guy come from? Who drafted him? Just be prepared for that. It could happen. That's how high I am on Drew Rasmussen. And I think he's got a huge ceiling above him. Fire Eisen, you know, I don't know. Maybe he'll be one of those journeyman relievers that has a good 2-year run and then has a faulty year and a half, just like a lot of relievers, and then just is outstanding for another year and a half after that. So they bounce up and down a little bit. All right, let's get to Craig Counsell. Then we'll get into our 60 versus 60 comparison, 60-game schedule last year. We're at the 60-game mark this year. But first, let's have Craig Counsell wrap up this 5-1 win.
Hey, Craig, that was a pretty time-tested formula tonight. Really good pitching, starting and relieving, and really good defense, and just enough hitting, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we you know, we've had a lot of pressure offensively, and finally broke through in the ninth there to give us a lead. But we pitched really well tonight. Adrian did a fabulous job. Bullpen was outstanding. And you know, Adrian just faced this team a week ago, and he just, I thought he was excellent. He made some big pitches kind of early in the game. And then just kind of, he was good, man. He handled that third time, you know, he handled Winker for the third time, which I thought was a big spot. That was a big kind of moment in the game for me. Got a ground ball right there. And then got Castellanos on his third at bat. So Adrian did a heck of a job, and he put us in a position to win.
Craig, is that encouraging to see Adrian have that kind of outing, like you said, after he struggled last time facing them here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, Adrian's, taken a step. And I think it's that's another sign of it. After a tough start against the team, kind of coming back against them the next time and delivering a really good one. So I'm happy for him and proud of him the way he did that tonight, and the way he was responded really the last two times he's pitched. So he's in a good place and confident in what he's doing.
Craig, that Shaw hit seemed big on a couple of fronts. It puts Josh down, and just also for Travis, he had some loud outs again tonight. Was that among the sort of hits of the night? Where was that one for you?
Well, it's a huge one. We'd got to a spot with a lot of pressure with two outs, kind of bases, like people all over the bases, and we weren't able to kind of get that next hit, and Travis finally got it, and it was the guy that you want to get it, I think, with the way things have been going. So for sure, it's a big spot, and Travis comes through, and he's, you know, there's one thing he's done. He's driven in runs this year for us, and he continues to do so.
You know, we never know how a game will go otherwise, but it looks like you caught a break when Gray had to leave the game. He had pitched three really good innings. And then you really started drawing their bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, when Gray goes out of the game, we caught a break. There's no question. He's a tough customer. You know, the guy who comes in the game is he's unprepared because no one can be prepared for that. So Avi got him right away, which was great, and we put a tough inning on that. And then you know it's a bullpen game, so I think that'll bode well for the rest of the series. We've faced a bunch of their relievers already, kind of wore their pen out a little bit, and come out with a win.
We talked before the game, Craig, about pitching to their two hot guys, Winker and Castellanos. All your pitchers did a really good job with them tonight, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian, you know, and it starts with Adrian. You know, he gave the hit in the first to Winker, but then he kept him on the ground the rest of the game, which was really, really effective. And, you know, those guys are tough at bats. You got to make pitches, and that's what we did. We made pitches to those guys the rest of the game. We did a good job of keeping India off the base, Winker didn't have many guys on base, but we made good pitches to Winker tonight.
Craig, when you think back to last year, where you all were at mentally, physically after 60 games, is it just completely different this year because everyone knows there's still so much more? Like, how is it different this time?
Oh, I don't, you know, last year is a year that I don't know if we'll ever be able to draw a comparison to. So much was different on the field, off the field, in the stands that we're not going to be able to compare anything to last year. I think it's a mistake, really. So this is what we're accustomed to. It's 162 game year, and that has its own challenges, which some of which we've faced and some of which are, you know, coming, and we know we'll face them, but we're ready for it, and we expect it, and we know what to expect in it. So we just got to ride the wave of that and know what's going to happen.
Craig, in a game in which you had already used some high leverage guys, how big is it to be able to sit Josh down and let Milner take the night as far as like maybe tomorrow's game or, you know, going forward?
Yeah, well, look, it you know, when we get in this stretch, I don't think you know tonight that it's going to help you in the future, but anytime we can do it. And here's the other thing. Homie Milner's throwing the ball well. Like, you know, he threw the ball well in AAA, threw the ball well in spring training, he threw the ball well tonight. And as much as anything, I'm encouraged by how Hobie Milner's throwing the baseball. So that the fact that he can be a very useful guy for us. So we keep getting more information on that. And then, you know, it gets Josh, you know, he had to get up and get hot, and he was ready to come in the game. But, you know, hopefully there's a benefit from that. And we see him the next couple nights.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
5-1 final. You just heard from Craig Counsell there talk about the fact that Travis Shaw got the two-run double in that ninth inning. It did sit Josh Hader down, and as we discussed about an hour ago, it does put you in a situation, if the stars align, where it's a safe situation the next two games of this series. I would imagine that Josh Hader would be available for a Wednesday and a Thursday. Again, you got to get in that situation first, but it was a big hit for Travis for a number of reasons. Number one, sitting Josh down, giving the Brewers a little insurance, and it was just super good to see Travis Shaw get paid off a little bit here. ABC Audio Video play of the game, as heard on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
The 1-0. And that is wrapped into right center field, a base hit, and that is going to get to the wall. Taylor's in. Narvaez rounding third. He's digging for home. Here's the throw. Not in time. And a big two-run ninth inning double from Travis Shaw, and it's a 5-1 ball game.
That is big for Travis Shaw. It really is. He got off to a great start this year and then has really struggled. And you know, they're gonna need him. They're gonna need some production from that third base position. Although I wouldn't rule out that he gets a fair share of time at first base, possibly even second base. You never know. He can play all three. So that's the versatility. 60 games in, you just heard Craig Counsell, you know, do a compare. Say you can't compare last year to this year. Well, you know what, Craig? I think we can. And I think we will. We'll do that after the break here. As the Brewers get a 5-1 win, game one of this three-game set. Cappella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway here on The Fan.
Two stranded in that opening frame. As there is a drive hit into deep left field, and that's out of here for Abisail Garcia, and this game is tied. That was smoked.
There's the highlight from Bally Sports Wisconsin. Matt LePay, touchdown Wisconsin on the call. Chris Singleton, I like his analysis as well on the television broadcast tonight. Tim Allen, there's Evan Heffelfinger. Yes, that is his real name. And it's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. 5-1 win tonight as the Brewers win their fifth consecutive, 10 of 11, 13 of 16, and now a high watermark of 8 games over 500 at the 34 and 26 mark, 60 games into the season. So we thought it'd be fun kind of to just go back and forth with Evan and I to go back to last year. And you heard Craig Counsell say, well, you can't really compare. And I, to a degree, I do agree with that. But for the fun purposes, we're going to do that and go back and take a look at what happened. I'll start on my end, Evan. Heading into the 60-game schedule, we have to go back to the offseason, 2019 into 2020. Let's keep in mind, a lot of these things happen that you may have forgotten about. They sign Freddie Peralta to a 5-year deal. They sign Christian Yelich to a monster deal. Spring training was shut down to Corona. Brent Suter gets a 2-year deal. Hader won the Reliever of the Year award. Lorenzo Cain got his gold glove. Yelly a silver slugger. They make that Trent Grisham trade. Grisham and Zach Davies for Eric Lauer and Luis Urias. And then they start signing some of these free agents. Evan Logan Morrison comes in. Justin Smoke comes in. Brock Holt comes in. Shelby Miller, Eric Yardley, Keon Broxton back with the organization. Omar Narvaez comes in via trade. Brett Anderson signs. Josh Lindblom. I mean, a lot of these guys coming in. You remember the names.
Thank you for not mentioning Sogard, too.
No, I got him right here. Jace Peterson, Ryan Healy, Eric Sogard, Jed Jerko, David Phelps, Justin Grimm, J.P. Feiereisen, Mark Mathias. All of those come into the organization heading into the 60-game shortened season. Now, they didn't know it was going to be shortened for a lot of these signings, but, man, it's just why. And this is why, when you nutshell it like this, guys, you notice that a lot of teams around the league will bring up two or three of their prospects and say, well, they've got a good shot to win a starting position. And maybe two of them get that starting position, or two or three or four are up with combined starting and a little bench help. Brewers just they don't have the prospects to do that. They didn't have them at that time, at least, and to a degree don't have them right now. Oh, they're coming. So what he did was the list I just read off. This is how Stearns is putting together a winning kind of tradition here. He brings in these guys to kind of spin the dials a little bit while he's waiting for his higher-end prospects. It's just the way he's got to do it. Well, do they all work out? Well, we obviously will find out. They don't. They lost the following players into last year: Jeremy Jeffress, Matt Albers, Junior Guerra, Yasmani Grandal, Mike Moustakas, Corey Spangenberg, Tyler Austin, Gio Gonzalez. They trade Chase Anderson, no Eric Thames, no Travis Shaw, no Drew Pomerantz or Jordan Lyles. They release Hernan Perez, Jay Jackson's gone, Jimmy Nelson's gone, Tyler Saladino, Yolis Chacin, Taylor Williams. Now, all of that. So you got the incoming and outgoing into last year's shortened season over and under in wins, 30.5, and they were 40-1 to win it all. Those were your odds heading into the season, Evan.
It sounds about right. I remember we were worried that they may not get to 30 games last year winning, and they didn't.
And they didn't. And we'll get into my first game season segment here in just a second. But I do want to mention, heading into last year's season, I was right there in Arizona when the whole thing hit, when everything was shut down. And I'm not, you know, I shouldn't get a gold star for that at all. I just was in that place at that time, and it was just weird. You know, again, a lot of people lost a lot in the last year, and so year and a half or so. And so I'm not, you know, saying selfishly that, oh, wow, I was in the middle of that, but I just was. I'm just telling you what was. And so was Adam McKelvey and Rosiak and Sophia Minert and Hodgecourt and all these reporters and beats, if you will. And we were all just like, what's going to happen? I mean, I remember doing a show from the Airbnb house because we couldn't get back into the stadium. It just locked it all out. Ended up doing a few interviews heading into that season, but wow, just strange. It was really strange. Okay, so the 60-game season last year opens up on July 24th, a three-game set in Chicago to face the Cubs. Kyle Hendricks, complete game shutout. They lost 3-0 on... I should say, with the opener, Eric Sogard was leading off. Christian Yelich hitting two. Keston Hira was your three hitter. Then Smoke, Braun, and Narvaez, your 4-5-6. Avi Garcia, Kane, and Orlando Arcia was your starting nine. What do you have for the starting? Did you have a starting nine this year for opening day?
I am so glad that you brought that up. My opening day start, well, I guess our starting day lineup for this year was Colton Wong leadoff, Keston Hira second, Christian Yelich third, Avi Garcia cleanup, Travis Shaw fifth, Lorenzo Cain sixth, seventh, Omar Narvaez, eighth, Luis Urias, and pitching Woody.
Wow, what a difference. But you see that Keston Yelich that 2-3, that was flip-flop from last year. Man, it's just too bad Keston, you know, hasn't gotten it going yet. And I, you know, still cross your fingers that he will. Tempers flared in game two last year in Chicago. If you recall, Council making some comments that you could hear with no fans there. You could hear what the other dugout was saying. That took a little getting used to for some of these players. I'm not saying they have thin skin, but I'm just saying that it, you know, when you can hear exactly what's going on, let's see. Offense was going to be a little bit down in that series. Sogard, 1-for-10. Yelly was 1-for-13. Keston Hiura was 1-for-12. That's their 1-2-3 hitters last year. 3-for-35 in the opening series, Evan, last year to get the campaign off. Then they go to Pittsburgh. They take 2-of-3. They got the record back to 3-and-3. Then the Marlins outbreak hit, and that's about the time we're talking about a 1-for-27 start for Christian Yelich with a massive amount of strikeouts. It just wasn't looking good, but that's the first six games of that 2020 season.
And the first six games of this season really didn't start much better than last year. You could even stretch it to seven games. They won opening day on a walk-off against the Minnesota Twins, which I believe it's one of their two interleague wins this season. So they have not been good going across the different leagues like that. But
yeah,
then
they got swept by Kansas City.
1-1 against the Tigers, 1-2 against the Twins in that opening series. Then you go right to Chicago and drop game one. You win that series with the Cubs, and then it kind of starts this massive stretch where the Brewers ended up going 17-10 through April 30th.
That was the first month, and then they lose it starting May 2nd. It was weird. So last year, all hell breaks loose with regards to COVID. The Cardinals then, you remember this? The Cardinals had the outbreak last year. And the entire series at Miller Park was canceled. Amid that, Lorenzo Cain opts out of the season. Then Pat Murphy has a heart attack. So things really just, wow, makes you think about what's important. Yeah, you get Cain opting out. Braun went to the IL with a finger infection.
He was 15 minutes away from opting out, too.
I agree. I agree, and that gave him a little break to kind of chill out and kind of figure things out a little bit. But that was a crazy, crazy time last year. After that, they had the home-and-home series against the Chicago White Sox. 2-2, each team wins on the road. So they went 2-2 there. They were 5-5 through the first 10, come back home. They faced the Twins and Reds, lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds. Did the same against the Twins. That's when they start making a few moves. Logan Morrison was DFA'd. Luis Urias was called up, a 7-9 mark through the first 16 last year. They hit the road for a 10-game road trip. Cubs, Twins, and Pirates. 3 out of 4 against the Cubs. 10-10 through the first third of the season. Let's see. They went to the Twins after that. They almost got no hit. Kenta Maeda, you remember that one last year?
Unfortunately, I do.
But they were down 3-0 and put up 3 runs in the 9th to tie it, but ended up losing in 12 innings in that one. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Twins. They got swept in Pittsburgh. Another DFA, Brock Holt, turned loose. 11-15 through the first 26 games last year, almost to the halfway mark.
Which is almost a polar opposite of this year's team, which it's crazy to think that this team started 17-10 this year. When you look at the schedule of their first 27 games,
yep.
The Twins have been a bad team this year. They dropped that series. The Cubs are good. The Cardinals are good. They won another series against the Cubs. In San Diego, they swept the Padres in 3 games. They won 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers in that 17-10 stretch. And it kind of all of this while dealing with so many injuries. I mean, the injuries started pretty much from day one for the Brewers team this year, and they still found ways to win. And it was really fun to watch it, honestly. And then the injuries started catching up. The pitching stopped being all worldly around May 2nd.
But they were still good, though. I mean, you know, last month in May, they were still decent. But it was the offense that was losing some of these games 2-0.
Right. Looking at the month of May, the pitching, they did regress. In April, they had, I believe it was like a 2 ERA or something ridiculous like that, a 3 ERA as a team. And then going to May, the team gave up 4 runs a game, roughly, for pitching, but then their offense only scored about 3.5 runs a game. So they were losing almost a run a game, despite the pitching really not doing that bad. They were doing average. It just, the problem was that offense was well below average.
So this year, as we compare 60 this year to 60 last year, this year they start out in the first 27, 17-10. Last year, the first 26, they're 11-15. So we see the difference there. Then in August, they had a 10-game homestand, Reds, Pirates, and Tigers. And if you remember there, we started noticing at about that time last year, Devin Williams starting to just, you know, open eyes, not only here, but 10 appearances, and he's under a 1 ERA. Let's see. They win the first two of the 4 game against the Reds, and you may recall last year that then they boycotted the game because of the Kenosha riots and subsequent shooting, or the reverse. So they reschedule the game for the next day. They get swept in the doubleheader that day. They split the series, a mathematical halfway mark at 13-17 last year. You kind of knew right there, I think for me at least, at that halfway mark, Evan, that the offense was just not good. I mean, it just wasn't. And you're seeing all sorts of people trying to figure out on this show and many others, local and national, trying to figure out, why aren't these guys hitting? Well, they didn't get their spring training regimen. They were fired up and then cooled down, and then they got to fire back up again in this, summer camp 2 or whatever they were calling it. And really in that halfway mark too, of those 30 games, they were scored upon first in 23 of them. So that is, that has really turned around this year. Although tonight they got scored upon first, but they come back for the win. Team batting average halfway mark last year, right around where they're at now, about 210. They lost the series to the Pirates again, then a trade deadline. Well, we're selling. David Phelps got to go. 3 young right-handed pitchers. They took that series 3-1 against Pittsburgh. I don't know what I'm seeing here. But they trade Phelps at the deadline. 3 right-handed arms. 4 games back in the Central with about 24 to play. All told, that 10-game homestand, a 6-4 mark. They get into September, the final stretch run. They DFA Justin Grimm. We see Tyrone Taylor, Phil Bickford. They go to Cleveland and Detroit for a 5-game trip. They also DFA'd Smoke around that time. But they signed Dan Vogelback, which is pretty key, and now he's living on this year. They lose 2 of 3 to Cleveland. They fall to 4-under after a loss in Detroit, 18-22. Offense at that point, they had a streak of 4 runs in a 26-inning stretch. 7 runs in their last 3 at that point. Game 2 in Detroit, though, this was a fun one. 19-0. People forget that. I mean, I forgot about it until I went through this to grab a few notes. Burns starts setting them up and laying them down at about this time. Now eyebrows are raised, bursting onto the scene and having a great season. Fun info on that 19-zip game. Jed Jerko had two home runs. Orlando Arcia had four hits. Braun had three hits and a home run. Urias, three hits and five RBIs. 13 extra base hits for a franchise record in that game. Middle of September, they face the Cubs in an 11-game homestand. Now it's a pennant race. Cubs, Cards, and Royals. Brawny, a walk-off sack fly against the Cubs. Council at that time, I remember after the game, you win one zip over the Cubs, walk-off fashion, and that was the game after the 19 zip. And he was asked about, wow, the offense, you know, you score 19, then you score one. I remember Craig Council, Evan, said, I call it 2-0. That was his response last year.
That is a manager's answer right there.
Yeah. Josh Hader, then, you remember this? Josh Hader gave up four runs in the ninth inning. Remember the Hayward home run?
I completely had blocked that from my memory.
Exactly. I mean, that was horrendous. And then in that same series, did we forget another no-hitter at Miller Park?
That one lives too much in my head.
This one I blocked out, and I went, oh, that's right. Alec Mills gets it done.
Of all people, their long reliever.
Six games out of first, four games under 500, which is 16 games to left. Makeup games against the Cardinals, a five-game set. They signed Billy McKinney. They activate Ray Black, Ronnie Rodriguez. Ooh. Trey Supak was called up. Keston Hira had a walk-off sack fly. Let's see. The offense breaks out in that Cardinals series, putting up 18 in a victory. And they take that series 3-2. That was big over the Cardinals. Brawny had a big game 5. Three-run homer in that first inning. 11 to play last year, 3 games under. And they sweep the Royals. Burns and Woody, outstanding. They got back to 500 at 26-26, Evan, through that first 52 games.
Incredible. That team last year, they didn't get a game above 500, did they?
I don't believe so. No.
And this year already, this team has battled from below 500 to well above, and now they're back to the new watermark, 8 above .500. But going back to that 17-10 game, that was after they had gone up 3-0 in the series against the Dodgers. The next game was the Alec Bettinger game, which we don't really need to talk too much about.
That started it.
That was right? The start. That was May 2nd. They lost 16-4 against the Dodgers, which was the start of 6 straight losses. They got swept in a 4-game series in Philadelphia. They lost the first game to the Marlins in Miami, then ended up winning that series, then dropped a series at home to St. Louis, dropped a series at home to Atlanta, got swept in Kansas City to put them at 21-22 after they were 17-10. Then they headed to Cincinnati, lost that first game on May 21st.
So the low watermark was 2-under, right?
Yes, it was 2-under at 21-23.
Okay.
Was the lowest point of this season.
Plus 10 since that. Wow.
Unless, I mean, I think the lowest technically was 1. No, 1-3 is the same as...
Yeah, that's
just
2-under.
On-air math, don't quote me on any of that. Yep. But that same day, on May 21st, is when they traded for Willy Adames. And that is when everything changed for this team. We didn't even talk about the Arcia trade, which coincided with kind of the slump towards the end of April. And then they bring in this shortstop to replace the shortstop that they had traded for just a year prior in the Trent Grisham trade. And since that day, when they were 21-23, they have gone 13-3. They went and they won that series in Cincinnati. They split a 4-game series with the Padres at home.
That was big. Yep.
Then they traveled to Washington and swept them. They beat Patrick Corbin. They beat Max Scherzer. Brandon Woodruff pitched an incredible game on Sunday to give to finish off that sweep. It also, then we move on to a series against the Tigers, which we really don't need to talk too much about. They played down to their competition. If you look at this team,
split.
Yeah, split is manageable. You said that you wanted them to go 4-2.
Yep.
In that six games with the Tigers,
that. Yes,
and four with the Diamondbacks. And what did they do? They swept the Diamondbacks. Freddie Peralta with a gem. Corbin Burnes pitched absolutely incredible. They went and they increased their record, against the NL West to 12-3, including 3-1 against the Dodgers, 5-2 against the Padres, two teams that a lot of people think are going to win 100-plus games and represent the National League in the World Series. This team, as we're talking right now, sits at 34-26. That's incredible to think about.
Considering you were, two games under 500, you're 8 over now. I mean, that is huge. You mentioned Burnes and Woody and Peralta, and a lot of us are having these conversations, like, how jealous we were as fans to take a look at, the Mets over the years with DeGrom and Syndergaard and
the Cardinals Wheeler always had like a three-man rotation too.
Yeah.
Or the Cubs would pay for one.
And you look at, the three, and everyone was telling us Brewers fans that you got to have three. You don't just get one stud to win a World Series. You got to have three or four of them. Okay. Well, I wonder if in other markets, like when we were looking at Scherzer, Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin, like we look at over there and say, man, that must be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if some fans and some teams are looking over into Milwaukee and saying, Woody Burnes and Peralta must be nice. I don't think so yet. I don't think they've laid enough foundation here.
I also blame Major League Baseball for not marketing the players like they should. But think about how much money the Nationals have spent on their three-headed horse of Max Scherzer, Patrick Corbin, and Steven Strasburg. Mm-hmm. They've paid $750 million to those three guys. Right now, you have all three of your starting pitchers who have two ERAs.
Freddie's making about, what, $3 million?
Yeah, $3 million.
And then the other guys are making less than $1 million.
They should be the envy of baseball. No matter what the rest of the team looks like, if you have a three-headed monster like that, you are a good team.
And it's budgeted as less than $5 million for all three of them.
Right. Imagine if
I don't know. I don't have the number off the top of my head. Woody might be.
I think Woody might have been arbitration this year or something like that. But if you're paying $7 million for those three pitchers, that gives David Stearns the flexibility to go out and spend $12 million on a Jackie Bradley Jr.
That's right. I'd pay $27 million a year for those three.
Right. Oh, way more than that.
No doubt.
And that is, despite what we may think about what David Stearns does and some of the moves he has made, he is trying to do the best with the limited money that he has, and that includes going after some free agents that we may overpay to make sure that they're in Milwaukee while you have these guys on these young contracts. It's like an NFL team trying to capitalize on their star quarterback on a rookie contract. That's what I see this as right now.
Well, and he has to. I mean, he just does. He doesn't have the prospects on the position player side. He just doesn't have the go-to guys to go there.
And it's funny because 10 years ago it was the other way around.
It was exactly the other way around, no doubt. So last year, just to finish up, 26-26 through those first 52 games, is 8 to play. Three against the Reds and five against the Cardinals. They lost two out of three against those Reds last year, 27-28. Five games to go, five games set against the Cardinals. Let's see. They didn't get over 500. They had nine chances to get over 500 last year. Think about that. They were at 500 nine times and went 0-9.
I remember that all too well.
Yep. On the fringe of the wild card with the five games left. Lose game one, get a win in game two, lose game three. Lindblom got lit up right there. With two games left, they were still alive at 28-30. And the bummer late last year, Corbin Burns got hit, hurt and went to the IL with a 2.11 ERA. They win game four. Woody, eight innings, just two hits, no runs. It set up the final 60th game of the year last year. We're right here at 60 games this year. Last year they were at the 59th game, one under 500, and they're trying to go 500, and it was a win-to-get-in scenario for the Brewers. However, if you recall, we were scoreboard watching something fierce. I remember just sitting
there
in
were a
of this
lot
microphone.
Of things that had to go right for the Brewers to make the playoffs.
I mean, not just the last day, but I think it was the day before also.
It was,
I mean,
like almost a week that we were scoreboard watching.
They could back in, and they did. They needed losses by the Phillies and the Giants on that final day, and that's what happened. The stars lined up. Phillies, Giants lose. Brewers lose, but they're in. 29-31 mark gets them a date with the LA Dodgers and eventual World Series champions. All right, so 29-31 through the 60 games last year. 34-26 through the first 60 this year.
Which I haven't checked.
Marketable difference.
But that would have put you well in first place in the National League Central. And one of the best teams in baseball.
Did you check that out? Because I know the Cubs were like a good 5-6 games.
Let me see. Oh, the Cubs were 34-26.
Yeah, there you go.
So they would have tied for the Central Division. Would they have gone? I don't remember the tiebreakers from last year. Would there have been a game 61?
Your guess is as good as mine. I want to just block it all out. Outside of the Brewers making the postseason for the third consecutive year.
And by the skin of their teeth.
Who was the cleanup hitter for the Brewers in L.A. because Brawny got hurt?
Oh, that's a great question.
Was that Healy?
I think it was Ryan Healy. Was it the second game?
It was game two, yeah.
Game two, it was, yeah, Ryan Healy. Three at-bats, three outs. And then Ben Gamel came in and pinch hit for him. And he was the DH in that game, too.
There's a 60-60 comparison. Boy, what a difference a year makes, huh?
I had one more note on this 2021 season for you, Tim, and I know that you are going to love this. You are the lineup guy. I think we all know that if there's anything that you're known for, it's for asking people, it's more important how they are, and for...
And lineups.
This year, the Brewers, I don't know, this is through 59 games because Baseball Reference hadn't updated at this point, but through 59 games, the Brewers have had 56 different batting orders. 56.
That's not surprising.
Do you remember, I think it was on Rami and Tim, when you said that you would not be surprised if they had a different lineup every single game of the season, all 162.
So I mean,
through
hell,
59 games, they had used the same order three times.
That's great. Well, and injuries do play a big part of that.
True.
I mean that part of it, and you've got a lot of moving parts here. But again, you take a look at last year, kind of holding their own with a bunch of guys. I think I got mad one day and called them all a band of misfits because it was, you know, at the beginning it was Justin Smoke and Logan Morrison, and then they did enough. I mean, again, people say, well, last year in 60 games, they were sub 500. So is that, should you jump for joy for a playoff spot? Hey, it was against their peers. It was against other teams in Major League Baseball. Of course you give them credit for it.
I never got that, too. Imagine you went to 2004 and told a Brewers fan that they made the playoffs 3 years in a row, although one of the years you were under 500. Think about how ecstatic a Brewers fan in 2004 would have been to hear that they even made the playoffs, let alone in three straight years. That hadn't happened in forever.
Well, a little bit different here this year. And we'll see. It's been a blast in these 60 games, that's for sure. And part of that is the losing and not hitting and discussing it and talking about it. But, man, what a difference a year makes. And now we're looking at June 25th here. But we're at the 8th, just a couple of weeks here. It's full capacity. And we're seeing some outdoor activity and fairs and festivals. And we're seeing not just baseball, but just life is so different than a year ago right now. I'll end this segment, and then we'll take a break and take a look at tomorrow's matchup. But I'll end it with some negativity. What I didn't put in there, do you recall the back and forth of the players' union and Major League Baseball?
All too well.
Do we want to go 100 games? Do we want to go 80 games? Do we want to go 60 games? Do we want to meet in the middle at 70 games? What do we want to do? That was a precursor to what you may see come November of this year. Because it's pretty nuts. This CBA ends this year. So when we're just talking baseball, and forget about the pandemic, but just baseball, that to me was the ugliest thing that we've seen in a long time in
since the steroid scandal, honestly.
It was pretty ugly. And both sides should be ashamed of themselves. Both sides, the Players Association as well as the league. Do it privately. Stop. You guys are going through the media. Do you think that's an advantage for you guys? It's not a good way to communicate. It's just not. So hopefully they can live in harmony. And the game we all love will continue. All right, we'll take a break. That was fun. 60 and 60 last year and this year. What a difference. Team, I think we can say, is one hell of a lot better this year. I think we can all agree on that. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. They win the ball game tonight 5-1. We'll take a look at game two next here on The Fan.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, on The Fan.
It is tough as fans not to look backwards at times. We're so tempted to play the what-if game, and I was just talking to Evan during the break there that I have it listed as 10 games that the offense, you know, with any sort of output, would have won the ball game. There's, I believe, three of those 10 were two zip losses. So just consider this, and then we'll look forward. Of those 10 games, just give them three. Think about just give them three wins, because you can't pin it all on that, but okay, give them three. They would be 37-23 right now, just on three of them, of the 10. That's crazy. All right, it's game two, 6:10 first pitch. After the last pitch, you make the switch. We'll be talking some Brewers baseball with our friends from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Let's check the matchups, Evan.
For the Brewers, Brett Anderson will be taking the hill. He is 2-3 with a 4.42 ERA heading into this start. He'll be going up against 25-year-old Vladimir Gutierrez. This will be his third start. He is 1-1 with a 2.70 ERA.
All right. And again, you know, is it really all about the offense each and every night? Maybe. Maybe. if you get through the Hauser and the Anderson portion, you know what's on the horizon. You got a Freddie Peralta coming up. You got another Brandon Woodruff coming up. You've got a Corbin Burnes on the way. Well, this is kind of fun right now. All right, for Evan Heffelfinger, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. And thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. And smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.